Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird. We shall now say grace. Martin?
Benedict Dominin Noth, Donatua Quae Mox Moscienda Stufita. It goes et binos, Bacchic Botimos, Quarta Pandera, Pulcherima, Chibibutimum, Amen.
Thank you, Martin. You should visit your old college more often.
Yeah, it's lovely the way it doesn't ever seem to change. Ancient professors of ancient history eating ancient pheasant. I love it. Slow, measured pace. I can still remember the first thing you said to me when I arrived here. Now, the thing about reading philosophy, you said, is not to rush it. I want you to think about Aristotle. Take as long as you like.
I didn't actually mean 3 years. I imagine things must be rather different now you're a high-powered business tycoon.
No, no, not really. I still manage a slow, measured pace. I see myself as the antidote to dynamic global capitalism.
What is it you do, exactly?
I'm one half of Prentice McCabe Government Media Relations.
Sounds most impressive. What exactly are government media relations?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that for 3 years.
No, come on. I do ask for a reason.
Oh, well, we lobby the government, run public relations campaigns, you know the sort of thing. Most of it is the waste matter of a cow's husband, frankly.
Well, it's just possible I may be able to put some work your way. I'll look you up next time I'm in London.
Oh, in that case, I'd better finish the essay on Aristotle.
You're in partnership with the laziest man in London.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Well, all right, yes, I would say that. The laziest man in London. He's very good with clients.
In that suit? Come off it, Charles. He goes to client meetings looking like a tramp. Remember that day he did the presentation at Sainsbury's? He gave them the flip charts. They gave him 50 pence for a cup of tea.
Well, you're being very unfair. Actually, clients are strangely impressed by Martin. They think anybody with the nerve to go round London looking like that must be some kind of eccentric genius, which he is, in a way. You did get a first in philosophy, you know.
And what has business got to do with first in philosophy? Come off it. Look, don't get me wrong. The year I spent working at Prentice McCabe was a great time.
We had rather a lot of great times.
Charles, what's over is over. This is a business meeting.
Yes, yes, just as you say. So, what's the deal?
I am proposing that we merge.
No, I seem to recall that we did, frequently.
Look, let's table the issues and make sure we're on the same page.
Yes, let's. Does that come with an English translation, by any chance?
When I left PMXC, I told you that inside 2 years, I'd have set up an agency, and it would be bigger and better than Prentice McCabe.
Bigger, possibly, but better? I hardly think so. And there is, after all, only one agency in London with the hush-hush Downing Street account.
And I want it. And what I want, I usually get. Gail Shand is now, and you are history. You're in the right church at the wrong pew. Ditch Martin McCabe, come in with me, and bring the Downing Street account with you. That's the choice, Charles. Get on a bus that's going forwards, or you'll be up to your ass in alligators. Is that clear?
Crystal, Gail.
Sandy, stop fussing.
I'm just straightening your tie. We might have clients coming.
Well, as God once remarked to the people of Gomorrah, Sodom.
Morning, Mr. Prentice.
Good morning, Sandy.
Those files you asked for are on your desk.
Excellent. Make the coffee rather strong this morning.
Okay.
Heavy night?
Oh, I think it must have been. I had the most curious dream. I dreamed that I got on a bus that went backwards to a church that was full of alligators. And one of them turned to me and said, "You're singing from the wrong hymn sheet."
What did you eat? Pork chop with sage and onion and LSD?
No. Mind you, I suppose you could call Gail Shand an hallucinatory drug.
Oh, Lord, the wicked witch of the West. How is the rapacious female?
You never really got on with Gail, did you?
So, what did she have to say for herself?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Martin, we've knocked around a long time, pulled a few scams, worked a few wheezes.
The word you're looking for is friendship.
No, intestinal parasite is a bit closer.
Simply because I aim to do just enough for a bit of peace and quiet and a lifetime supply of sherry.
Martin, in business you cannot stand still.
Oh, quite. And when you can't stand still, you go and have a lie down.
I did not set up Prentice McCabe in order for it to be the second government media relations industry in London.
Well, what's wrong with coming second? Look at us, Charles, we're successful, we're making money. Remember, when we started, we were so desperate, we even agreed to work for the Conservative Party. comfortable now.
But the Gail Shand agency is bigger. Ah, the pager summons. Urgent meeting required. Archie, our friend from Downing Street. Well, at least that's one account Gail Shand hasn't got. You, I suppose, will be spending the morning doing the crossword.
On the contrary, Charles, I have a meeting with a new client.
You have a meeting with a new client?
Contact I had a dinner with the other night in Cambridge. Well, I got a first a few years back.
Yes, you never miss an opportunity of mentioning that, do you?
Psst, Charles, over here.
Ah, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course this is safe. This is a party to mark Greg Dyke's first year as Director General of the BBC. There's nobody here at all.
Charles, we have a commission for you.
Excellent.
We're about to make a major announcement. Cast your mind back to May 97. Why did we say education, education, education?
To introduce people to triple accounting?
Charles, the time has come for a major initiative in education, and that's where Prentice McCabe come in. We are going to close down half the universities in the country.
Well, of course you're going to do what?
We're going to stop wasting public money on self-indulgent young people reading damn silly subjects like history or philosophy. Philosophy, for pity's sake.
Martin, what I'm asking is perfectly simple. I want you to save the study of philosophy.
And what makes you think I can do that?
Because you're Prentice McCabe, experts in image relaunch, you told me so yourself. Look, let me set out the problem. The problem is we're getting the wrong sort of student.
Like the wrong sort of leaf?
Well, in a way, yes. You see, what is a university? It's a place of learning, scholarship and intellect, of mathematics, history, philosophy, geography.
Geography?
Yeah, well, possibly not geography. But you know what I mean. A university was never meant to be a hotbed of business studies, media studies, internet management. We want to attract scholars, not greedy-eyed young men and women, Thatcher's children, for God's sake, saying, give us a degree in business studies and make it snappy, it's the way to a fast buck. Martin, our philosophers are withering.
What, in their critique of contemporary values?
No, they're just withering. We need to attract students who treasure learning for its own sake. And since I'm here representing the Association of Philosophy Tutors, above all, I want you to rebrand the image of philosophy so that we get more students like, well, like you.
Well, how much are we talking?
We have the funds available.
In that case, I'll do it.
The point is, Charles, that closing down the universities will save money. It will look responsible, go down well in the city.
But even the city doesn't want to recruit a bunch of uneducated morons.
They won't be uneducated. They'll be differently educated. We're not going to close down the universities and leave it at that. We're going to turn them into training centres in business and information technology. A skilled workforce to meet the challenges of the global economy. Now, these new centres will want a name. And that's the first thing P. McSee can be getting on with.
Is that all?
Of course it isn't all. Why does Downing Street employ Prentice McCabe?
Because we are the best.
Because where there is Prentice McCabe, there is filth. I want you to let me have a strategy for preparing public opinion for the closure of half our venerated seats of learning. A few highly publicised scandals involving university professors, sex, money. Anything that will discredit the institutions that we simply have to step in.
Ah, oh yes.
Interested?
In filth? Oh, yes. Sexual favours in return for good exam results. That sort of thing.
Exactly that sort of
thing. I made his earth move and he gave me an upper second in geology.
Charles? Charles, we're on the same page with regard to this one.
Yes. What?
Charles, you don't think there is a certain creative tension between promoting philosophy and closing down universities, do you?
No, there's no creative tension. They are flatly incompatible.
So what are we going to do?
Prentice McCabe is not a philanthropic organisation that's here to help your friends. Face it, Martin, the government is going to win this one. What are you proposing to do? Say to the country's students you don't want to be rich and successful. Why not study Hegel and Marx and become a dandruff-ridden academic non-entity loved for his eccentricities by the six people who can remember his name?
I can see that the task is difficult.
It's not difficult, it's doomed to failure. And I do not care to have Prentice McCabe associated with failure.
Well, possibly you're right.
Of course I am. Now, do something useful and start mapping out some names for the government's new business schools. I've got a lunch meeting.
Oh, anyone important?
No one important at all.
That's the offer, Charles. Take it or leave it.
Gail, I can't simply fire Martin. It would be like taking an old dog, flea-ridden but somehow lovable, looking into its baleful old eyes and popping it in the tandoori.
If that's what it takes.
Yes. You really would do that, wouldn't you? You'll excuse me if I'm just a little bit more delicate.
It's not like you to dither, Charles. You always used to get things over with so quickly. So very quickly. You were the sweet I could eat between meals without ruining my appetite.
Oh, so that's why you used to shout Milky Way.
But our relationship now is just business.
Oh, purely?
Yes. So, Operation Goodnight Martin.
You know, it occurs to me there is more than one way to make canine tikka masala. We were offered an account yesterday, not an important account, but one that presents insuperable problems. A product relaunch of an unsaleable product. It would have been a disaster.
So?
It still could be a disaster if I were to suggest, to insist, that Martin handled it.
And he fouls up and you get rid of him.
After a real catastrophe, resignation might come as a blessed relief. The severance will ooze with generosity. You may have to squeeze it a bit, jump up and down on it, but the generosity's in there somewhere.
Okay, now you're beginning to speak my language.
No, I'm not a beginner. I've always been fluent in dirty bastard.
Items.
I'm sorry?
Information Technology Enterprise and Management Schools. Items. The name for the government's new training colleges. Items. And we market it with pictures of a pair of fresh-faced young people gazing into each other's eyes and the strapline, "Are you an item?"
That's rather good. It's disturbingly good. No evidence of waning powers there.
Who said anything about waning powers?
No one at all.
Well, I think I've earned a quiet drink at the club, a 4-hour train journey to Clapham Junction, and a quiet night in.
Ah, now, there may have to be a slight change of plan there. You know, I've been thinking, should we really turn down that philosophy account?
You said yourself, Charles, it's impossible.
But, well, we are Prentice McCabe. We've never turned down a challenge, have we? Never run away.
I've every intention of running away.
Oh, I rather fear not. You see, I feel we owe your friend, the Professor. After all, he's the man who made you what you are.
I think he'd probably deny all responsibility.
That's why I've invited him to drop round tomorrow morning.
Well, all right.
By which time you'll be ready with a presentation of the campaign plan. How to market the study of philosophy to young people.
Tomorrow morning? But damn it, that means I'll be working here all night.
Oh, really? A chap who can come up with something as brilliant as items at the drop of a skirt?
What?
A hat, drop of a hat. Sorry, my mind's been doing odd things ever since lunch.
Yes, well, suggesting I write a presentation by tomorrow morning isn't odd. It's completely out of the question.
Martin, I just know it's going to be excellent.
This is excellent, Charles. Items. And the picture of young people. Downing Street is delighted.
There's just a little something I knocked off in a quiet moment.
You didn't farm it out to Martin, then?
My dear chap, you don't think I'd entrust our most important account to Martin? I'd as soon let an American organise an election. No. Items is all mine.
First-rate work. Now, I think we agreed that promoting the new colleges is only one half of the task.
And I have not forgotten the other half. Feast your eyes on that. Just something I thrashed out.
Peterhouse, Cambridge in thrashing scandal. Witches' Coven at Durham University. The sex slaves of Balliol College, Oxford. Charles, is this true?
Well, I don't think we need to waste time on philosophical questions, do we? The point is, when a campaign on these lines hits the tabloids, there'll be an outcry. There will be an irresistible demand from the public that the government do something about the universities.
Then ministers chime in with statistics proving that our young people are ill-served by these clapped-out elitist institutions.
Quite so.
We are failing our young. We are not preparing them for the knowledge-based economy.
Exactly. Now, if you're happy, perhaps you'll excuse me. I've left Martin in charge of an account. Nothing important, a trifle, but I think I ought to get back.
All right. Well, we'll meet soon.
Oh, Archie, put my mind at rest. What exactly is the knowledge-based economy?
I don't know.
Honestly, Charles, I just haven't got a clue.
Nonsense, Martin. I'm sure it's going splendidly.
It isn't going at all. I mean, why the hell should young people want to go and read philosophy?
Come on, let's have a look. Television campaign to feature Posh and Bex saying, when Brooklyn grows up, he wants to be a philosopher. This option appears to lack market credibility. Well, it does rather, doesn't it?
I told you, I'm just not getting anywhere.
The campaign song? Well, that's a good idea, imagine.
Well, these are just rough initial thoughts.
No, I'm sure it's wonderful. Let's have a look. Bertrand Russell's disco pants are the best. They are better than all of the rest. They go up from his arse to his chest. Bertrand Russell's disco pants. Very good. Very good. My imagination has been, how shall I put this, fired.
Charles, I'm just beginning to wonder if I'm not getting too old for all this.
Are you? Are you really, old friend? Well, let's have a chat about it tomorrow, shall we? After the presentation. Now, if you'd like to just sit there, Professor.
Oh, thank you. I must say I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, so am I.
Good morning. How are you, old chap?
Oh, glad to see you, Martin.
Sandy, what the blazes are those?
What, these? They're Bertrand Russell disco pants. Do you like them?
I think they're splendid.
Yes, splendid. Martin, is that a new suit?
One likes to look professional on these occasions.
Yes, of course.
Right, let's get this show on the road. Gentlemen, I am going to talk ballparks.
Well, I certainly hope so.
First question in considering how to make philosophy attractive to young people is, how do we reach young people? The right message is useless, pitched at the wrong audience. An advert in the Times? Pointless. The young person's medium is radio. We are therefore proposing a radio campaign.
A radio campaign?
Because young people listen to music radio.
So what we're proposing... Well, perhaps we could give you a flavour. Sandy?
Philosophy. Because my elders are not my betters.
Philosophy?
Because they don't want you to.
How do they run the knowledge-based economy?
By keeping us in ignorance.
But I don't want to be a New Labour clone.
A Blair's babe.
Because I want to be me.
All I want is the truth.
Just give me the truth.
Not just another business graduate.
And they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
I want to be me.
Philosophy?
Because they don't want you to.
Well, I think that gives you an idea.
Well, that was very good.
Yes.
Damn. Damn fine work, Martin.
Now, we'll need a big name to front it.
We thought Bjork.
A popular entertainer, Professor.
Oh, yes, I'm a big fan of Bjork.
Oh, actually, I knew you were the first time I saw you.
And you've had some ideas for a poster campaign.
Oh, let me see. Philosophy, because I want to cut the crap.
Yes, you once wrote, cut the crap on an essay of mine about Nietzsche. I was never sure if you meant him or me.
Gentlemen, I'm delighted. I think I can say you can name your price.
I think I can say we will.
May I take these proposals to show my board? Oh, I really should be going. Once again, gentlemen, thank you. Charles, good to meet you. Must be a privilege to work with someone like Martin.
Yes, it is.
I'll see you out, Professor.
Martin.
Charles?
A word. Did we have to come here? I mean, we could have gone to the Soho House or Groucho's or somewhere a bit more now.
Oh, good grief, no. Flighty young media groupies. Networking, dear, no. You won't get any of that in here. Mobile phones are banned. Media groupies are banned. Americans are banned. As a matter of fact, almost everyone's banned from this club. You seldom see anyone at all in here.
Well, no one living, certainly.
I thought today was moderately triumphant.
Martin, is there any chance I could have advance warning the next time you suffer an attack of professional competence?
The Daily Mirror is being sued by Peterhouse Cambridge. It printed allegations of academic and sexual misconduct, allegations supplied by you, which turned out to be wholly untrue.
Well, that's never stopped the Daily Mirror before.
They have been required to print a retraction. Your campaign to undermine the credibility of our universities is frankly a shambles.
Well, it's suffering a few teething troubles.
The PM's son came down to breakfast this morning listening to mindless garbage FM and informed Tony that he no longer wishes to do business studies. His ambition now is to study philosophy. Because it's time he started asking fundamental questions.
Well, that's admirable.
It's not admirable, it's appalling. How can you govern a country full of people asking fundamental questions? Do you remember May 97 when we came to power?
Yes, that was when things could only get better.
We sent Prescott on a fact-finding tour of the London Underground. Unfortunately, he came back. But what he had to say was extremely interesting.
I don't think even the Daily Mirror would print Prescott extremely interesting sensations.
He said, look, chaps, everything is all right. The government is safe for 10 years. Because if people will put up with the state of public transport without rioting in the streets, they'll put up with anything, including us. Do you see my point, Charles?
Well, let me put it this way. I haven't the first bloody clue what you're talking about.
Look, the British people work extremely long hours. They moan a lot, but they don't do anything. They acquiesce. And why? Because they don't ask damn fool questions all the time that get in the way of good government. I mean, look at the French.
Yes, that's true. They do love a good riot over there, don't they? The ideal existence, in a way. Eating and rioting.
And why? Because they ask questions. Because they take intellectuals seriously. In this country, intellectuals are a joke. They're people with pointy heads and names like Valdemar. And that's just how we want it. You cannot run a modern, globally oriented economy if people are going to waste time asking the big what, the big why.
The big what's it all about, Archie?
Quite. You don't know who's running this philosophy campaign, do you?
No, I haven't a clue.
Well, I want it squashed. Oh, there is one other thing. I cannot pretend that I'm pleased with your performance over this. I've invited a rival bid.
What?
The Gail Shand Agency. Name mean anything?
So there it is, you've been outwheezed.
I am never outwheezed. I'm merely experiencing a little local difficulty. The items campaign may yet be one of my greatest triumphs.
One of your greatest triumphs, ah, yes.
Mr. McCabe, Ken Livingstone said yes.
Livingstone? Said yes to what?
I was just about to tell you, Charles. Our philosophy campaign, it's made such a hit on radio, one piece of mindless garbage sounds much like another FM. We're launching the campaign on television. We've got Livingstone and Mel C to front it. Now, listen.
I don't want to hear this, Martin.
No, yes, you like it, you like it. Now, the scene opens with a close-up of a piece of blancmange.
What?
And then we cut to Livingstone saying, when you haven't got a mind of your own... You're as easy to push around as a piece of blancmange on a plate. Then he pushes the piece of blancmange around the plate. You follow me so far?
I think I'm just about managing, Martin, yes.
Yeah, and Livingstone says you can be pushed around by the government. You can be pushed around by the big corporations. Then we switch the scene to a crowded tube train full of blancmanges. And they're all bouncing about and being pushed and shoved.
And then newspaper taxis appear on the shore waiting to take you away. On when you wrote this.
And then one of the blancmanges yells, stop! I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I want a mind of my own. And that's it. And then the usual caption, philosophy because they don't want you to. What do you think?
I think it's appalling, vulgar, subversive propaganda.
It's a hard-nosed campaign. It's got a clear message, got good visuals, good animation.
The blancmanges were my idea.
Oh, my God preserve us from office juniors with ideas. And where does Mel Smith or Mel C or Mel B or whatever it's called come in?
We cover our in blancmange.
Oh, so it's got sex as well.
Exactly. I think it'll work, don't you?
Yes, I think it will work.
Oh, let's hope the professor thinks so. I'm having lunch with him to finalise the details. You don't mind if I take Sandy with me?
I'll stay if you want me to.
No, that's quite all right.
Cheer up, Charles. You did want this campaign to be a success, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Martin, your work has been excellent.
I'm delighted you're pleased.
And can I simply add, thank you for a magnificent lunch.
No, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, thank you. Lunch was quite delicious.
Yes, it was lovely.
Yes, thank you.
Don't thank me. I'm not paying for it.
Martin, Sandy, I've been privileged, if that's the word, to spend a lifetime in contemplation. And I've reached certain conclusions. What you might call the after 8 minutes of intellectual inquiry.
You might if you were a total tosser.
Sandy?
No, the young lady is quite right. You see, I have concluded that life is, in a very real sense, a joke. Can you take a joke, Martin?
I've got a joke, exactly.
This morning, the Association of Philosophy Tutors, of which I have the honour to be chairman, received an invoice from Prentice McCabe for thousands of pounds. Thousands and thousands of pounds. And the joke is this. We can't pay it. We're bloody
study of philosophers. We haven't got a bean. There's no money in philosophy, old boy.
But you told me you were amply funded.
Yes, well, you've got to laugh, haven't you? And the ice... or perhaps I should call it the clinching cognac of cogitation is that I can't pay for this lunch either.
I've been such a fool, Charles.
Nonsense, Martin.
You know, I think it may be time I put my feet up. My powers are waning.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I've wasted the company's time and resources.
Well, I would say that, yes.
I've got the one big account that sets Prentice McCabe apart from the herd.
Well, not necessarily.
Oh, you think we can retrieve the situation? Well, I think it's best if I leave you to it.
Martin, if there is one thing this little episode has taught me, it is that you and I belong together. I am the egg, and you are the old frying pan from long before the words non-stick were invented. I am the table, and you are the piece of immovable chewing gum.
Yes, yes, thank you, Charles.
Now, there is just the small matter of Ms. Shand to attend to.
No, Gail has been working all night on this project.
OK, now, what I'm proposing is a four-pronged strategy.
Ooh, four-pronged, Martin.
Yes, fault me.
Comprising press, television, radio and the political arena. That's the House of Commons, Charles.
Oh, this is all terribly complicated, isn't it?
This wretched campaign persuading the nation's young people to turn its back on material values and contemplate the world is doing a great deal of damage.
Not anymore. Yes, we could have spent all night working up a four, even a five or six-pronged strategy.
But we didn't. We chose to act.
And as a result of our action, the Association of Philosophy Tutors has gone bankrupt.
What? But how did you manage that?
As you well know, Archie, our methods are strictly the business of Prentice McCabe.
But there's about to be a major television campaign.
No, not anymore there isn't. Thanks to our good officers, that particular campaign has been killed stone dead.
That's fantastic news.
Now, what Gail has been saying is all very interesting in its way, but what we propose is rather simpler.
Yes, a campaign targeting young people on the threshold of higher education and asking a very simple question. Do you or do you not wish to be stinking rich? Bill Gates or an out-of-work philosophy graduate?
It's difficult to contemplate the higher things in life when your bottom is hanging out of your pants.
Sad but true.
So, we run a campaign featuring this bottom.
Archie, 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 we are Prentice McCabe, not Marks and Spencer.
Ah, the look on Gail Shand's face when he said the account stays with Prentice McCabe. Sherry, Charles?
Thank you, Martin. This is very nice. Here I am, there you are. Prentice and McCabe, united, will never be defeated.
There's nothing like the unswerving loyalty of a true friend, is there?
No, nothing.
A friend who would never contemplate ditching you and merging with somebody else.
As if, Martin, as if.
Yes. Cheers, my old friend.
You have been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Byrd, with Tamsin Gregg, Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes and Philip Fox. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Paul Schlesinger.